now. So Heidi, is the recording started?
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is our capacity building working group meeting, face-to-face meeting here in Dublin. As you know, first of all, you have the agenda. Did you agree on it? It is there. And it was sent also. I don't see any hand, so I will consider the agenda adopted. Now, this face-to-face meeting is supposed to be a planning meeting. You know very well that we did a series of webinars in 2014. And in 2015, we had a full program all year, 12 webinars during the year. The year means that one webinar per month. It was done according to a consultation to know what are the topics to be covered. And now that the year is almost finished, we still have two webinars to be done for 2015. And now the purpose of this meeting is more or less planning for 2016. We also want to show you and to tell you what we did to improve the capacity building webinars. Seek for your views about what we can do to make it better. So the first item on the agenda would be the evaluation tool. At the beginning, when we started our work, we did a sheet that every trainee would fill in after the webinar. The experience wasn't very successful, since very few people did that. So we didn't have a good image of the feedback of the trainees. So we decided, and it was under the initiative of Ariel, I want to thank her. We did an evaluation through the Adobe Connect. And it was almost real time. End of the webinar, on the Adobe Connect, people can answer 5 questions. Not too many questions, because we noticed that when you put many questions, people don't take the survey. And so this is one new tool we are using for the evaluation. It is much better than before. Ariel will explain and we'll tell you how we did it and what are the results, more or less. And then also we try to cooperate with our I Can Learn and the department approved our request to put all our webinars on the platform, online platform. As such, in the future, they will be put together and arranged as a course, so that it will be a course on the island I Can Learn, and I think it is something very good. So far, if you miss one webinar, you can go on I Can Learn, and you can retrieve the webinar. You have the audio and you have the presentation. So exactly if you were there. Normally Jeff should be here to tell us what are the future cooperation that we will have with them, because I propose that we improve this cooperation and to perhaps prepare other kind of learning that we can do in our working group, and that they can use to prepare other tools for the newcomers, especially. So those are the new things we did, and now I will give the floor to Ariel to explain us the evaluation on the Adobe.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I think you pretty much covered what I wanted to explain, and just to give a little bit more detail for the the survey at the end, we spend about only 2 to 3 minutes so that the attendees can give their feedback on the spot. And then we ask the questions like how satisfied you are with the webinar. Do you think the speakers show expertise in the subject area? And then from admin side, staff can collect the result and see the percentage, the rating of those questions. And then after Dublin, we will compile those results and present the working group a spreadsheet of those evaluation. And in addition to that survey, we also incorporate the pop quiz during the webinar so that keep the attendees' attention. And we work with the speakers to come up with the questions and answers and make it very interesting. Cheryl has raised her hand.
Yeah. Please, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ariel. I, as you might have noticed, my prompt answering of all of these pop quizzes, I'm quite a fan of doing that. But what I would like to see is in our planning for this coming year is to clearly have in the agenda the allocation of time, because what has happened is we've hit up against the end of the committed time, and then we're trying to get people to do these couple of questions. Now, I know it's only 2 or 3 minutes, but if your next appointment is already starting, that's 2 or 3 minutes that people are not going to send. So can we ensure that our presenters are given 50 minutes or 2:14 or 50, whatever it works. So however many presenters you've got, make sure that that end band is sacrosanct and there is an expectation for that feedback and indeed your pop quiz. Regarding the pop quiz, though, as we want to get people used to using this type of interaction, and this interaction is extraordinarily useful, as you know, keep engagement and allow for the feeling of contribution as well as passive learning, you might want to see if it is suitable that your presenters can have one, if not 2 points, in their presentations where they seek input from the audience by even a yay, nay, or a choose one of three. Does two things. It allows people to feel engaged, but it actually gives us real metrics. So we can see if, you know, 60% of our people have a belief that this is an issue or not. So see if we can get our presenters to think, is there a point where they would like opinion or input or a measurement of some participant view? And that'll also help us because people will then know early on how it functions. Because every time we get new people into the Adobe system, they're going to staff, where's this button? What am I going to do? What happens? Why don't I see what? And so it just socialises. There are my couple of suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Very constructive. We did your last point is already done because she explained before at the beginning, she explained the evaluation to Adobe, and the quiz was explained by Terry before it happened. So perhaps in the future we will do it there. But
it's the practice.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I found the quiz very interesting because it shows that people was following, and it is it's funny. People liked it and participated. So it is a very good tool. Ariel, please.
This is Ariel for the record, and thank you very much, Cheryl, for the suggestion. And think maybe at the beginning, besides doing that housekeeping note, we can demonstrate how to use that pod so that make people aware this is the place to put your answers and how we use it.
If I may, Tijani, which what it means is in any given one-hour allocation, you now only have less than 50 minutes for presentation. Presenters need to know that.
Oh, Cheryl. Yes, please.
Lena Galston. I just wanted to say I really appreciate the idea that you are going to send this course and webinar results to the I Can Learn, because I was looking through these courses and noticed that there is a gap between an introductory and low level of courses and the advanced one, so that you do not have courses which will show you step by step going. And so I welcome that idea of bringing all these courses there.
Thank you very much. So, he's not here, Jeff. you were there. Anyway, so we will use this time as easiest.
French.
So I'm going in French. Okay. The evaluation that was done is extremely well done, is very good. And I would like to know if we can do it for teleconferences, for the monthly teleconferences, so that we have feedback on teleconferences and evaluate our teleconferences. And I listened to Cheryl and I noted on the agenda that in our last month, the webinar program was very condensed over 1 month. And I understand it was a very hot topic. We did program many webinars regarding this hot topic, but there was some redundancy. We finished a meeting, AFRALO meeting, and the next hour we had a webinar. So as much as we can, we have to try to use our time a little bit differently when we can.
La densité des
regarding the density of the webinars, we have once a month a webinar, but in the month of September, we did 2 webinars because we were late. We started late, so we had to do 2 in September. Because we, from the start, the working group decided that we would have 12 webinars a year, and we will do 12 webinars this year. So that's what happened. You know, this last period was extremely busy with so many teleconferences, and it was unavoidable to have this type of conflicts. We cannot, we know what we can do, but we don't know what the others are going to do. So we have a program, a long-term program with our webinars over 6 months of time. Then we have other events coming up, and in parallel, you have other conferences. But I do understand what you say. It's not our fault. There's not much we can do about it. Very well. Do we have Dev online? Is Dev here? Is Dev with us? Is Dev with us online?
Is Dev connected?
No, this is Devan, and I'm here at the call.
How are you, Dev?
Thanks. This is Devan, and very good to be with you all remotely.
I am really sorry to wake you up very, very early.
I'm not.
Okay, so Dev, you remember we said in our working group that we will use the information from the Adobe to assess the attendance and the activity. Have you thought about it? Did you do something for our webinars?
Okay, thanks. This is Dave Anand here. Adobe Connector does have a add-on or plugin called the Engagement Index Pod, and what it does, it allows presenters to track the level of engagement throughout the webinar, and what it does, it measures how the participants or the attendees are engaged with the presentation, whether they are using the chat, for example, whether they are even scrolling and looking at the document in the pod. So it measures how whether they're using the status button to, you know, raise their hand, you know, indicate status and so forth. And what you can generate reports based on that to show throughout the webinar how people were engaged. So it could then study how, you know, what parts were more engaging than other parts, and perhaps use that to then design better engaging webinars for the future. We haven't had a chance to really test this plugin, so I think Ariel and myself will probably be trying to install the plugin and test it out and see how it works. We haven't had a chance to really do any detailed testing on this. I'll paste a link to how this more information about this plugin. I'll paste it in the chat so people can see the PDF, and it'll be part of the notes for the session.
Thank you very much, Dev. But I would like to ask you if it is possible to export those information to a file, any file, so that it will be recorded for the assessment.
Thanks. This is Dave Anand here. So I believe, yes, it can be exported. But again, we haven't really done the actual testing of this new pod. So we're only just looking at, you know, what the documentation says about the pod online, but we have no real experience of actually using it. So I guess we'll find out when we actually and see how it could be exported and so forth.
Thank you very much, Dev. May I suppose that we will have it ready for 2016?
Well, this is Dave. I think, yes, we could commit to try to test the pod out and see how it works. And then we can ensure whether we're ready to deploy it in 2016. Certainly.
Thank you very much. So our first webinar for 2016 will be, we will get the assessment through this tool that you are preparing with Ariel. And thank you. Thank you very, very much. So now, since Jeff is here, as I told you, we have now a cooperation with ICANN Learn, and he's in charge of this platform. So we begin our cooperation very recently, only one webinar, and we hope in the future it will be better, the cooperation will be better, and we will use other tools together. So I will give you the floor, Jeff Lane. What kind of enhancement, improvement we can do so that we will have a better, cooperation, and we will have a better trace on the ICANN Learn. Thank you.
Johnny, my name is Jeff Dunn, for the record. I work with the Development and Public Responsibility Department, which some of you have probably heard of. I also run the NextGen program, which I'm currently running a session in right now, so I apologize for being a few minutes late. But basically, I just wanted to offer a very big thank you to Tijani, who has been very important in connecting ICANN Learn and a few of the other things that we're running with the upcoming meeting in Marrakesh, and basically being a huge influence in how we've been able to connect with the community. So just to, and very quickly, I brought a few slides to show off the new ICANN Learn, which we just unveiled right before Dublin. And as you can see on the slides right there, so that's what it looks like. We really took all the feedback that we got from the community, and I'll walk you through the feedback that we had gotten in the next slide, I believe. So we had community requests to really simplify the entire platform, because before the platform was mostly text-based, which can be very confusing, especially if English is not your native language or one of the major UN languages is not your native language. So we listened to that. We tried to make it as streamlined and simple as possible. The most requested thing was to be able to tier your own course, which is where you all come in. And so now it's incredibly easy to teach your own course. So what I can do is work with you to focus on the content, turn your webinars into something pretty exciting, and make it as useful as possible, and then basically hand it over to you, and you can update it and make additions, remove things, hold discussions, have live webinars right on the platform. There's about 15 different things that you can do with it, and I would encourage you to go check out the platform, poke around on it, and if you would like to, we'll see who wants to be the author of the course that we're developing for you guys. But in general, there's so much you can do with it that I could probably sit here for a couple hours, and I won't do that to bore you. I also wanted to note that there was a strong request to encourage discussion amongst our enrolled students. So we're developing an even better system right now that's going to be integrated within about a month. But it also, the current system as it stands, allows you to have discussion with your fellow students in your own native language. So you can have, you know, a conversation about whatever the topic of the video or the webinar is. So if it's a static webinar, this is probably too long a word for the interpreters, but an asynchronous discussion right now where you basically communicate, leave messages and that kind of thing. And we're also developing a live interaction platform where you can go on Watio alongside other people and communicate in real time. So that could be something very useful for meetings that we're looking into. I'm hoping to have that up by the Marrakesh meeting, the next meeting, in an effort to make it as useful as possible. Also, number four, as you probably see, is make courses more video-centric. The previous platform was a little bland, and I was more than well aware of that, and I apologize. It just was not very friendly to videos, but the new platform is built completely around videos, multimedia, engaging content. We don't want to just offer you 5,000 words and say, I hope you learned something. So it's much better than that. Now we have videos that are followed by interactive videos where you can engage with them, click on things, followed by quizzes, and we're also going to be rolling out the ability to earn badges and certificates. And that's very exciting. That was a huge request from APAC region, Africa, a couple other regions. We're very excited about certificates. And so I'm actually currently working with George Washington University in Washington, D.C. in the U.S. to look into certificates with them, and they're very excited. So we're in the very early stages of that. I just want to make that clear, but we are definitely pursuing it aggressively, and the goal is to try to make this as useful a platform as possible. So we have a lot of exciting things happening with it. Moving on to the next slide. There's a few slides here, and I will try to go through them relatively quickly. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But basically, the new iCanLearn lets you offer public or password-protected / private courses. So if you wanted to post something just for your own internal group, we can do that as well. But of course, you know, in the nature of ICANN and the multi-stakeholder community, the real focus is trying to make it all as open as possible. You know, everything is free. We hope that you put everything out into the open to help bring in more people, do capacity building. But that being said, we also offer the opportunity to offer some, you know, kind of your own private area where you can host all your videos at no cost to you, of course. And, you know, use me as much as you desire. I'm here to help you guys. This entire platform is just a tool designed to help the community. That's why we keep refining it based on your requests. So we're going to keep doing that. So just because we have a new version doesn't mean we're going to stop innovating. We have a lot of ideas for it, and we've gotten a lot of feedback even at this Dublin meeting. So it's very exciting. All right, so moving along. I'll share these slides. I'll make sure you all get them on the, I believe, the wiki afterwards so you can see this. But you can also just go right on to iCanLearn, and it's all pretty straightforward, to be honest. So I don't want to walk you through, you know, how to browse through the course catalog. So the next slide is you can see just how taking a coursework. It's very simple. There's a nice background image. You can just click on enroll in the course for free, and it's very mobile friendly. You can even download the entire course. You can download the PDFs, download even the videos. For offline viewing, which was another big request. And so we were really excited to be able to launch that. So, you know, we tried to shrink the videos down to be as small as possible. So basically anybody with an unreliable internet connection for whatever reason can have easy access to this. So if you don't have time now, you can watch all this on the plane ride home. Not that you will. You should probably get that. All right. Sleep. Yeah, I never heard of it. Yeah. I know some of you were here at like 9 last night. Okay, so moving along to the next slide. It's very simple, kind of like how taking a course works. Teaching a course is just as simple, but it's really fun to take a course because you can actually message the students directly from that. You don't need to use your email or anything. Just select the group. You can even see how each student has performed. You can just message the people who are struggling with the quizzes. If you choose to use quizzes, you can see how many people have watched each video, which second they stopped watching it, where they were most engaged, and there's a lot of information that you can explore. So it's really fun to be a teacher, but that's just me being, you know, the academics. On to the next one. So as I mentioned, that's what it looks like. So you can message each student ease, and we'll just move along to the next one. And I had mentioned there's a lot of data that you can get. This is just one of the many reports that you can easily create yourself, in-depth analytics. So once I make you here, so once we launch the webinar-based courses, you'll be able to see, as you sort of see to the right, it's a little hard to make out on this, that, you know, everybody started watching the course, then there was immediately some drop-off, then it picked up a little bit, you know, that kind of stuff. So spend all day with this kind of stuff, but it's a really powerful platform, and I can't emphasize enough that we tried to make it as useful for you as possible, and that the goal is to make this as simple as possible. The last platform was very confusing, and this new platform is very much drag and drop, you know, very straightforward, not too confusing. So moving along, there's just a couple other statistics. I just wanted to sort of basically go this off so you guys get as excited as I am about this. But moving on to the next one, you can see I took a screenshot of just our first day that we even started sharing this. And so we had, you know, 1,759 lectures viewed, 73 new signups. So, and we're already up to like 10 times that, to be honest. This is actually, I did this 5 or 6 days ago. But in any case, I want you to understand that this is a platform for you that's being used by the community with a lot of students, and they're very excited about it. We have tens of thousands of people logging on every month, creating accounts and viewing these lectures. So if you're looking to do capacity building, these are the people you want to reach. So these are people all around the world. They're not the people who are all necessarily able to come to the ICANN meeting. They're the people who are interested in ICANN, might not know a lot about it, but want to figure out how they can get involved. So that's kind of where At Large is in. And so if you put together, you know, a course or a series of courses, I can, of course, help you with that. This is a great opportunity to reach those people that you might not normally meet, really. So we'll just move along a little bit. I put in, you can all look at these later. This is just more insight into what you can do as a teacher. And we'll just go to the next one. So you can see some of the courses we have. We have a little over a dozen courses on there right now. And I'm actually going to be having by Marrakesh probably about 25 or so in the major UN languages. So we've launched with sort of a critical mass right now, but we're actually going back in and updating all the previous courses, which had become a little outdated because everything happens very quickly at ICANN and is always evolving. So we wanted to make sure all the content was updated. So I apologize for not having, you know, 100 courses on here right now, but I run it myself. So when I say we, you know, it's me. It's the royal we. Yeah, exactly. All right, so on to the next one. We'll go, this is basically just I wanted to show it off, and I strongly encourage you all to check out it. And you can just keep going a few. It's just a very quick walkthrough of what it all looks like. All the video is very easy to understand, and there's a discussion area, as you see. And I just wanted to show you a couple courses. There's a new ICANN for Business course that was just created and launched for Dublin. The Registrar Training is a very interesting course. In the past 24 hours, that course has had more than 68 hours of video watched. So, you know, do the math. There's a lot of people watching a lot of videos right on that one course alone. And that's I would encourage you to check out the Registrar Training course because that's a pretty good example that we have now of something that walks you through a very complicated topic, so you all understand. All right, so moving on, there's just a few more screenshots. I apologize. I got a little too excited to show off all the courses. We can go to the wrapping up slide, which is probably a few more screens. Yeah, they're perfect. Yes, and there's even one that's sort of a guide to ICANN meetings, which I know a lot of you have been to ICANN meetings before. So if you take that course, feel free to then get in touch with me and say, you should probably add in these things as well, because you know, how to survive an ICANN meeting is important for just about everybody. Hopefully, in theory. But yeah, so the goal is to make it really easy, and it works on every device, Apple devices, Google devices, you know, you name it. We haven't had a problem with testing, and it works in all the major regions. We did a lot of testing on this, so I encourage you all to check out and also strongly consider teaching a course, whether it's for this group or for another group you're involved in, because I know you all do many things. It's a platform for you and a great way to reach a lot of people who are looking to find you, basically.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of perspectives. So it's what we can do real-time course, isn't it? So we can do our webinars through the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And in this case, we will have automatic saving.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can make use of this webinar to build courses.
Yeah, so that's we're developing that. It's not the feature is not yet launched. So it's doing Adobe for now, but I know since you're launching new tools to go with it, you should take advantage. But in general, yes, the goal is to offer the live setup.
And you have evaluation tools on the platform.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And you have automatic recording of the activities,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yep.
And we can have direction life interaction with the students.
Yeah, and so that's what I was kind of trying to explain. Perfect.
So when do you expect this platform will be ready for that?
Hopefully by Marrakesh.
Very good, yeah. Very good.
It's pretty technically complicated, so
okay.
Give me a little time.
Okay, wonderful. So I was about to ask you other questions, but since you said that we will be able to use the platform for our webinars, I think it is useless to Heidi, please.
Thank you for your excitement and your enthusiasm for this. I mean, I'm really, you know, well done. Congratulations on the development of this. This, you know, at large has been working and asking for capacity building sources for a long time. And this, you know, is really a part of the suite of activity that ICANN and the community is now developing. A couple of questions. I saw that on that last the last few slides that you had beginner's guides.
Yeah.
I mean, and at large was actually the community that was the first source of the request. And then actually the first few beginner's guides were totally from the at large community. So do you have all of the existing beginner's guides on ICANN Learn at the moment?
I don't think so. I know that we have some, and they're from a variety of sources, to be honest.
Okay, so we can perhaps...
But I'd love to have you send them to me.
Okay,
yeah.
We can work together. We actually have one in the pipeline. And it's Ariel and Natalie from staff have been working on an updated version of a beginner's guide for ALSs, so which is in draft form, almost final draft form. And then the second question is that in Buenos Aires, in ICANN 53, this group had appointed a liaison, Juan Manuel Robles, to work with you on ICANN Learn and to link the courses with the capacity building NARS. I think we're still in the evolution stage of that, but I'm just curious what the lead time is once we identify the courses, the webinars that will be held, what is the lead time that you need to work on Manuel to develop a course?
Honestly, not very long. So the hard part is creating content, of course. And for you, the content is webinars. And what I can do is actually take those webinars and take the translated into the languages, put them on the site, but I can also chop them up a little bit, or basically cut them together to make them into lessons as you change topics and that kind of thing. So it's a little more engaging and interesting and can add in a little bit of descriptions. And so in terms of actual lead time, that takes about a week. It's nothing too long.
Thank you very much, Jeff. What I am thinking about to make courses from our webinars. So we will have a theme on which we will build our webinars, and after that you will try to make a course from those webinars.
Yeah, exactly.
And my hope is that at the end we will try to hear, for example, or over 6 months, and end of this course, all the attendees who attended all those webinars may have a certificate that you can generate this kind of certificate.
Exactly. Yeah, and so that's not the first time we've had the request for that, and that's why I was just in Washington, D.C. having this exact discussion, trying to make this happen. So there's a lot of legal issues because we don't want to make it confusing for people. You know, they're not earning course credit at their local university for taking your webinar, you know, that kind of thing. So as long as we can make that all clear, which I'm sure we can, we'll be good. But yes, that is the plan.
It is only a certificate of attendance. Will not say that this guy has the knowledge of that or that. You will
exactly.
say that he attended those courses.
Exactly.
That's all.
Yeah.
And this is some people from Africa. It's helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So... I think this is great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, thank you for inviting me to come.
I would like to work with you. We will consider a small group to work with you to prepare our use form for the webinars.
Mm-hmm.
It is very interesting to me because it will solve a lot of problems we are trying to solve. Thank you very much,
thank
Oksana.
You.
Aziz.
Can you hear me? What I would like to say is to congratulate you, Jeff. This is great work you're doing. And I did visit the last platform, and I was critical about it, but now there is a great evolution, very positive. What I would like to know regarding the pedagogy and the learning on this platform, a user, when he come in, and is he able to, according to his or her knowledge, and the prerequisite, where he should go, which classes should he take first, for instance. second question, the same issue that comes back in this room, we talk about that. We work in English, mostly in English, and we always hope for the other languages. This platform should be for developing countries. I talked about thousands of people. I'm sure if you do it in other languages, in Chinese, in Russian, in French, and so on and so forth, you can find many more users that are going to follow those classes if they are in their language. And they'll be able to be trained thanks to that platform. Regarding certification, you talked about that with Tijani. We have many questions. Certification is extremely important because that would give the certificate, and I talked to Nora about it. Why not using that certification, this evaluation, to nominate people to find fellows, that can be very useful. It's going to kind of force people to be more disciplined in their learning and to follow different types of courses. And for it to make sense, they have to start with the easier one and go on. Maybe you need more than one person to do so and you work alone. But congratulations on all the work you've been doing.
The answer to the first question is we're developing a welcoming area where people can find out exactly what they should do. We're having a graphic made where you can come in and say where you're from, what you're interested in, and it'll tell you what courses you should take. And so as we develop that library of courses, we'll have, as I think I mentioned, about 25 or 30, plenty of options for people to come in. And it's kind of like the stakeholder journey, but for online learning, if that makes sense. To answer your other question is we're developing the content in all the major UN languages. And so if you go to learn.icann.org right now, right on the homepage, you'll see that there's links to each language. And so we're building out all of those languages as we speak. I have about 10 to 15 courses that I'm plan on putting up basically over the next few weeks, assuming I make it home on time. But the plan is to make it, I'm sorry? All the majors, so there's English, French, Chinese, Russian, Spanish, and Arabic.
UN
right
languages.
Yeah.
UN languages.
United Nations language. And we're also, actually, we've gotten requests for a few other languages. We're using Thai as well, so we're looking into that as well. It's more a question of funding and resources at this point, rather than, you know, we would love to do all the languages, of course. But that being said, you know, we want to make this work for almost, well, definitely for the developing countries more than the developed countries, because we want to really reach the people who are not yet able to better get involved in the ICANN community for whatever reason. And so the goal is to make this a truly global platform that is very easy to use. So we've developed the easy-to-use platform, and now it's just a question of putting the content on there and all the products. So, yes, that is the goal. And in terms of certification, that was a huge request for, and that's why we're taking it so seriously with this. And that's why, I mentioned in the presentation explaining that the real goal is to make this as valuable a resource as possible for both the teachers, which can be you, but also the students, which is you as well. And so we hope that the certifications are done pretty soon, and the badges and everything. And in terms of the pedagogy and gamification question that you led off with, we have explored that as well, and there, I would encourage you to check out the registrar training course, which is sort of the first example of an in-depth approach to, like, having a logical approach, which is probably not good for the translator, I apologize. But, we're trying to make it as proper an academic experience as possible.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, please.
Donna Hager, for the record, can you please change the certificate on the website for going live? Currently, it's a certificate for dosomething.com. You're using the website with HTTPS. You get a wrong certificate.
So say that again.
If you change the URL in your browser here to HTTPS, mm-hmm. You get a wrong certificate. Please change this before going live.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
So thank you very much,
Jeff, thank you for the work you did, because I did several times before, and I will do again and again. I know that you are working hard, and we have now much better platform than we had before. Before it was material on the shelf only. Now we have a real tool of learning, and I thank you very much for that. And I hope that we will all make use of it. At least the capacity building working group will make use of it. Be sure. So, action item, Ariel. We will constitute a small group to work with Jeff for organizing our webinars through the platform. We need to learn about that so that we can implement it. Okay? Second, constitute a small group to work Jeff to prepare our use of the platform for the webinars of the Capacity Building Working Group. Second thing, now we are exactly on time to leave the room and we didn't make any planning, don't be sorry. We are very happy for that. So another action item, Ariel, staff to send an email to the working group members asking them for the topics they feel they are the best to be addressed in the 2016 program. Yes, please. And in 2 or 3 weeks, we will convene a meeting for the capacity building working group. Cheryl, please.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. Because we know some of the hubs, for example, the APAC hub, are also doing a quite extensive and vigorous webinar series. I'm hoping it'll come to video, perhaps. That was future planning happening in my mind. Can we also see where they are in terms of planning in as well as in when they're happening? Because I think, to go to Aziz's point, there seems like some weeks that certainly in my life, if I hear the letters C, W and G in any configuration together, I, you know, go to grab a blunt butter knife and take it to my wrists because I've had enough. And I think we need to make sure that if there's topics, they may be worthwhile repeating, but we need to separate them in our respective plans. I think that's part of what you were getting to, Aziz. So that would be helpful if we could work more mutually with those other very important endeavours. And I would like to propose that we don't aim for 12 in 2016, that we aim for, pick a number, 9 or 10, it doesn't matter, but recognise that there will be a month where some extraordinary event probably needs us to put something in, because we need to bring up general understanding of our community so that they can respond and react to something. And I think we should build in at least 1 month. 11 is a good number too. But just instead of having to, as we double up, this time let's have a little gap somewhere in the year so we can plug one in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It was planned like this at the beginning. We didn't plan to make webinars during summer, since the attendance is very... during the vacation period. But since the capacity building activities was almost null 2 years ago, we tried to catch up, but that's why we made more than we planned at the beginning. But this year we will not plan for 12. We will plan for let's say 10, 9 perhaps.
Perfect number.
I think 9 will be good. Okay, thank you. Yes, please.
Donna Hacker for the record. I missed your explanation, Jeff. Why is this necessary on the platform to log in and register before seeing any course? Why it's necessary to log in and register before on a different platform before commanding anything on this platform? why we do need to know who is participating in learning here?
That's a great question. And so the answer is so we can better understand who is taking these courses and keep improving the courses. And so as we get more people, we want to know what their interests are. You know, if you're not comfortable sharing that information, you don't have to use your, you know, a particular email address. You can just set it up with whatever account. But basically, it's so we can keep you updated on when there is a course update. You don't share anything other than your email address and your name. There's no credit card information or any kind of other personal information. And so that's very intentional. We kept that as minimal as possible. And it's basically so we, you know, as a teacher, so if you wanted to teach a course, you would be able to know and you can communicate directly with that student if they're struggling. And so this way you could see that they had a tough time on a particular quiz, or they're able, basically then they're able to also contribute to the discussion area as well. Rather than just having a bunch of anonymous users, we want to be able to, as I'm sure you'd understand, directly correspond with the students, just like you would in a class. You would walk into a classroom and have to share your name, or, you know, basically the teacher would have to know you in order to basically start teaching, typically, enroll in a course, just like in person. And so that we tried to mirror that. That's basically just the standard of practice for online learning at this point.
Just to make clear, especially for the basic courses, for those people who are start learning what ICANN is and how it will work, it would be much better to have at least opportunity to make an anonymously participation, or only viewing the courses should be possible. I understand you, I understand you from the point of a teacher, but from the viewpoint of an end user on the internet, every question for who are you, then very, very strong problem in order to get in touch. Do not like to be spied, feeling to be spied and to identify it. And for a starting platform, it might be the first thing we can do, that we offer all the courses, even the basic ones, only to known and identified persons. I do not have any problem with a webinar which is closed to registered users, but for the videos here, for the questionnaire tests, it should be possible to take part of them without any login. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. As for the capacity building working group, we do. I do think that it is better to identify people. There is no spyship in this issue at all. It is only to identify people enter who take those courses. I will give you an extreme case. I don't want to educate a terrorist. So I think that if you identify yourself, you don't have anything to be reproached to you. This is just to give a name and an email so that we know who entered, who took the course.
In terms of the functionality, I also wanted to make it very clear that we also have the ability to do previews courses. And so what you can do if you wanted to create a course that you wanted to make completely available and not know who's in it, then you can just simply, it's actually very easy as the teacher, you just click a box and you make it available and you don't need to be logged in to view it. So that functionality is available. And if you choose to use that, you're more than welcome to. I would just say that, of course, you wouldn't know who is taking your course. And so that's all it is. But it is available.
And nothing is closed. Everyone can go. Everyone can use the platform. There is no restriction. Only identify yourself. So I am informed that we have to leave the room. We have to stop because the interpreter wants to stop. So now I think, Cheryl wanted... Okay. And we have Philip who wants to speak and he didn't speak. So Philip, very, very short, please.
Philippe Batreau, bravo Jeff pour ce travail.
Congratulations, Jeff, on this work. I have one question. Are you going to do partnership with external companies or organizations in order to broadcast your content?
We have already done a couple of partnerships, and we've worked with New York University's GovLab, which some of you might be familiar with. And we're currently developing a course with George Washington University. And I actually also recently met with a few of my former colleagues and friends from Harvard and MIT as well. I head up the edX platform over there. And so we have a lot of communication, and we have a potential partnership with the University of Southern California as well. So we're in the very early stages of this platform. But yes, the goal is to generate some great content from experts in the field in academia.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you all. And we have to close this session. Discussion is closed. Very much.